talk about that piece of fear of possible negative consequences. So at a certain point in human history in Europe, which I know a little bit better than the history of some other places in the world, there was a feudal social order. In the feudal social order, people lived on the land. There were many poor people, but they lived on the land, and they were growing food, which they were able to use for themselves. And they were in constant fights with the feudal lords, where the feudal lords demanded taxation in kind, compulsory work days on the estate of the feudal lord, and all kinds of other things, and where the people on the ground were resisting them with an amazing degree of defiance. Why were they able to resist to such a degree? And I just finished reading a book about that chapter in history, so it's fresh in my mind. Why? Because they were on the land, and they could grow their own food. The only way to coerce them was through physical force, because they had direct access to land and food. Nowadays, physical force is only necessary in those parts of the world where still the majority of people are on the land. In those places, there is a lot of physical force and intimidation that are going on. In the industrialized world, most of us no longer have the means to produce our own food. We are dependent on money to get food. Because we're dependent on money to get food, we can be coerced with economic forces only. There's no requirement of direct physical force. So the violence inherent in the relationships of labor is obscured, masked. So what ends up happening is the people who have what are called marketable skills, they are the ones who have the capacity to resist the power of the bosses. Why? Because the consequences for them are not so bad. You know, if I get my boss angry, I'll get fired. I haven't really liked this job for the last 3 years anyway, so I look for another. I have savings. You know, I have a really, really, really a skill that is in really high demand. I'll easily find something else. If I am a migrant worker, if I don't know the language, if I work in assembly line or so-called unskilled labor, I am, quote-unquote, a dime a dozen. If I am fired, I might starve. Mm-hmm. I don't have savings, because if I ever make a little bit more than I need to put food in my mouth, I send it back to my family in the country I came from. So I am really scared. I have no power. So that's the reality of the situation. And then the question is, for each one of us as individuals who are in a place where we have bosses and we are employees, we need to do a lot of discernment in terms of that question of fear of consequences. The first thing to realize is, to the extent that I have fear of consequences and it determines my choices, my ability to live nonviolence is impaired. This goes all the way back to Gandhi. Fear and nonviolence are incompatible sources of action. Because when I'm afraid, I don't have access. I mean, I can, let me be a little bit more precise. It's not if I have feelings of fear. I can have feelings of fear and choose from within the source of my soul where nonviolence comes from. I can choose from there even when I feel fear. It requires training and it requires strength, because what fear does, if not engaged with proactively, is it pushes us to fight, flight, freeze mode. It's not fear per se that is incompatible with nonviolence. It's fight, flight, freeze that is incompatible. Nonviolent is an alternative path of action to fight, flight, freeze. There are now studies that show that living in the modern world, we live with a permanent low-grade arousal of our fight, flight, freeze system. That means that exercising choice is an ongoing accomplishment. So the discernment, first of all, is like, do I want in my work life to bring the spirit of nonviolence and collaboration and the courage that it entails? If I don't want to, then the discernment is finished. Then I just collaborate where I'm not afraid. And everywhere else, I just protect myself. It's a completely valid human path of action. It's so valid and human that oodles of people do it. If we want to make a different choice and inhabit nonviolence in the workplace, which is not how the workplace is set up, then it's ongoing discernment. Is my fear based on reality? Okay, what's the worst thing that could happen? My boss will think, in this particular situation, my boss will think that I'm not loyal. What would be the consequence of that? For how long will that consequence last? Is my boss likely to fire me or make me miserable or set me up against other people? What's likely to happen? Can I tolerate those consequences? If not, what do I want to do? How much am I willing to push? Like, really reflect on this fully with tons of tenderness for myself. Until I reach the place of knowing what consequences I'm willing to risk and what consequences I'm not willing to risk. And then I know that in the place of the consequences of I'm not willing to risk, I'm acting from self-protection. That's okay, so long as I don't delude myself into thinking that I'm being collaborative and nonviolent. And where I'm willing to take risks, that's where I take them. Yeah. I think fear is the key thing that keeps the whole structure in place. Check this out. It turns out, statistically, that if as few as 3.5% of the population in any given society embraces a nonviolent struggle for regime change or something like this, only 3.5%, it is virtually guaranteed to succeed. That's how powerful nonviolence is, but it requires numbers. As an individual, the cost is high, and only those of us who lovingly and willingly take on that cost are the ones who will embrace the path. The path goes against personal reward. The only rewards we have are intrinsic, internal. Mm-hmm.